Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk about the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and we're going to focus on the round and how to pray the round. This is very important for anyone in the divine will. Praying the round is what Jesus talked about to Luisa. He talked to her from volume 16 to volume 36. For 20 straight volumes, he said, "This is how I want you to pray." So if you haven't begun to pray the rounds, this will help you understand the importance of this great gift. Okay, so the first line, "My daughter Luisa, as you do your first acts in my divine will, the other souls receive the rights to enter into the divine will to repeat your acts in order to receive the same effects." So what you have here is this whole gift belongs to Luisa Picaretta. The whole gift belongs to Luisa, Luisa alone. Jesus is so excited about this that he wants to give it to those who are alive today. So he has predestined us to live at this time. He has predestined us to embrace this gift if we wish. So this is why a lot of people that you talk to about the divine will, they do not want this gift, because they're doing things. They're doing good things. They're doing holy things. They're doing saintly things. Our Lady said in one of her apparitions, many are doing good things. Few are doing the essential. So what God is asking of us is, would you be willing to do the essential? Would you be willing to enter into this gift? So, from A Dawn of a Mystery, this is what Sister Assunta said. Man must recognize God through creation. Okay, so, you know, whether it's raining or snowing, whether it's blizzards, whether it's, you know, extremely hot, the love of God is all around us. So, Sister says, man must recognize God through creation. Okay, so we have to recognize all the I love yous that are out there. And this is the meaning of the round, to embrace these I love yous. Now, in volume 36, Jesus says to Luisa that the senses were made for God. So you were to see God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God. This is what God wants, to hear God. This is what he's asking us to do. And since Adam fell, we have lost that means that our senses to experience God. So we have to begin to recognize the I love you of God in creation. And this is the meaning of praying your rounds. You pray your rounds, it's not you, but you're saying to Jesus, I want to experience what you, Lord Jesus, know, what you experience. So when we read the volumes, when we learn these truths, as we become aware of these knowledges, what happens at that point is we fall more in love with God. So the saints were called to know, love, and serve God. We are called to know, love, and possess God. It's vastly different. So he says, Sister says, man must recognize God through creation, and this is the meaning of the round, which recognizes God through creation and redemption in order to give back to God divine love, divine praise, divine glory. And this isn't human. God wants the divine. Remember when the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice every day? He says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. God wants to receive divinity. That's why when he breathed into dust his image and likeness, man, Adam, was formed. Why? God wanted to receive from another divinity. God wanted to receive this divine, I love you. So he breathed into dirt. He breathed into dust his image and likeness. So mankind can now breathe back to God a divine, I love you. And since the fall of Adam, all we have had is human love. And human love is fickle. Most of the marriages today end up in divorce. And it's not because mankind isn't worthy of marriage, but it's because human love is selfish. Human love is self-centered. Human love is focusing on self. People have said to me, well, it's 50-50. No, in marriage, it's 100%, 100%. And if one person is doing 150%, the marriage usually fails. So what we're called to do is, what Jesus is asking is, would you go back to the beginning? Would you go back to give to back to God divinity? So, now again, no human can do a divine act. Only God can do a divine act. But what Jesus is showing us is as he breathes into us, you breathe in and then you breathe out. You give back to God what God has given to you. You breathe in divinity, you breathe out divinity. Your heart pumps blood in, your heart pumps blood out. The waves come against the shore, the waves go away from the shore. It's this motion of God that God wants us to re-enter into. So he says this. The sister says this. Jesus said, I did not create the sun for the sake of the sun, because it cannot return back to God divine love. I created the sun for you, for mankind, for you, Louisa, and for all humanity. When I created Adam, I created the universe for Adam to live in. But I must, listen to this, but I must live in man's human will. So God gave us creation to live in, but Jesus says the human will was made for God. And when somebody says, I want this, God says, then I have to give it to you. You've kicked me out, so I have to give you what you want. The devil said that. The devil said to God, I want hell. I don't want God. I don't want to obey. God says, it's yours. God has to give everybody what they want. And this is the frightening thing. We go to confession often. Why? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. That's the human will. That's the human misery. And Jesus says, I want you to enter into my divine will. I want you to use your free will to choose. No longer do I want to live in my human misery, which you find in confession. This is your life. This is how you live. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. Jesus is now saying, I want you to enter into my life. And what is the divine will? The divine will is peace, joy, and happiness. The divine will is to begin to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So Jesus says, I must live in man's human will. Thus, everything is a gift for us humans, and we are a gift for God. But how did Louisa make the round? Louisa would say, I am melting. Louisa would say, I am fusing. But what does this fusing mean? Okay, now think of the priest putting a drop of water into the chalice. The drop of water into the cup filled with wine, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not separated like oil and water. So he says, what does this fusing mean? Jesus said, Louisa said, I see, concentrated, I enter into God, into his most holy divine will. So this is what God is showing us. As you read the 36 volumes, as you study the truths that Jesus spoke to Louisa, and it's very important to know these truths. It's like God giving you the keys to a Maserati. And you go, well, what do you do with this? If you study the manual, you'll understand what to do. This is greater than a Maserati. This is to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this is what's being said. In front of me, I see what seems to be a little girl coming out of me. And I understand that she's my soul. And I lose myself in creation. I voyage among the stars. I voyage among the heavens and in the sun. And in the air I breathe. In all the universe, I see divine love. And I gather all that divine love that God has put in creation, and I give it back to God in praise, in love, in thanksgiving for everything God has done and placed in creation and in redemption for me. So what is this? What is this round? It's to begin to live a life that Jesus lived. How did Jesus pray? How did the Blessed Mother pray? You know, what we have learned over the last 2,000 years is how to pray the prayers of the saints. This is a devotional life. I finish my prayers. Now I can do what I want. Jesus didn't live like that. Mary didn't live like that. When they prayed, it was to enter into the fiat. When they prayed, they were thanking God and praising God and loving God and adoring God. This divine I love you that they lived, God wants us to possess. So a lot of people are still focused on like the Pietà book. I have a good friend. He reads the Pietà, the front cover to back cover every single day. He prays all the rosaries. And I said, God wants to give you more. He says, I'm doing enough, thank you. I've talked to a nun. She says she prays 8 hours a day. And I said, well, learn the rounds. Well, how many hours do you want me to pray? See, when we learn the rounds, what happens is you begin to pray the way Jesus prayed. I mean, I can pray the way St. Ignatius prayed. I can pray the way St. Francis prayed. I can pray the way that St. Teresa prayed. Those are beautiful, holy, saintly prayers. But it's not divine will. To enter into the divine will is to let go of even holy things. To let go of even good things and saintly things. Why would you do that? To enter into the divine. And again, nobody's there yet. Jesus says to Louisa, when I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, then I will give it to them. Which means he hasn't found anybody yet. He's looking at us and he's saying, is the divine will everything for you yet? Do you know what I said in volume 13? Do you know what I said in volume 27? Are you on fire when you hear me speak? Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? They said, weren't our hearts on fire as he explained the sacred scriptures to us? This is the time, what this is about, what this whole gift of the divine will is about, is to begin to understand what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will reveal to you all truths, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. That's the Book of Heaven. That's why Jesus named this book the Book of Heaven. When he spoke to St. Honorable de Francia, he says, this is what I want you to name the book about. The Book of Heaven. The return of the soul to the order and the place and the purpose for which it was created. So this is what we're learning. The rounds are to enter into heaven while on earth. The rounds are to enter. See, what does that mean? In heaven, the angels are singing the praise and the glory. The saints are singing the praise and the glory and the adoration of God. The saints taught us how to love God humanly, to enter into a virtue or two. But what Jesus is asking us is to enter into himself, to be that drop of nothing, entering into the chalice, fusing to diffusing, and becoming one with God. So Jesus says this, so I thank him and I praise him and I bless him for me and for everyone, including those who don't thank him, who don't praise him, who don't love him, who don't glorify him. Do you understand what God is doing? She says this, but one thing do I ask. I ask that God's kingdom come. So why do you pray the rounds? Why do you do your prevenient act in the morning? This is a knowledge. If you don't know how to do the prevenient act, you haven't learned anything. You learn the prevenient act. You do the prevenient act in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Why? So that the kingdom can be established on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. See, what's coming is a new beginning for mankind. Because before sin, Adam lived as king of the created universe. And so I must give back to God his divine love, including the divine love rejected by Adam. So this is what God is looking for. God is asking us, he's pleading with us to let go of the good, the holy, and the saintly. To enter into the divine. Now, your family isn't going to want this. Your neighbors aren't going to want it. Your coworkers aren't going to want it. You're religious. You're I know so many sisters and priests and brothers and bishops who say thank you, but no thank you. I've got my work to do. I've got to build my school. I've got to build my hospital. I've got to, you know, get my community going. That's not divine will. Divine will, what happens with the children of the divine will, you begin to enter into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. You're free. You're free to adore God and to praise God and to love God and to thank God, to truly worship God. And so God is asking us, and again, like I said, He's predestined us to live at this time. He's asked us to live at this time because He's expecting more from us than all the saints. He is expecting more from us than St. Francis, St. Clair, you name them. All of them together, all the saints together, cannot compare to what God wants to do with us. What God is going to do is going to astonish the world. God is giving back to mankind what Adam lost. Adam lost the preternatural lives of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. No saint lived those lives. They couldn't because they didn't have Louisa. We have Louisa. So what does that mean? God is asking us to enter into heaven while on earth. How can we do that? It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. God is expecting great things from us. And He has given us the book of heaven because He knows what He is going to do for those who are docile, those that are little, those that are surrendered to the will of God. So we're going to start. This is Sunday, and the Blessed Mother said, "Rise, my glory, rise, my life." And Our Lady says, "I saw my dear son accompanied by that great crowd of people, leaving limbo and going back to the sepulchre. It was the dawn of the third day, and just as all nature had cried over God, over Jesus' death, now all creation rejoiced." And this is what she says, "Supreme Majesty," Louisa says this, "Supreme Majesty and Creator of all things, this little child, Louisa, comes into your arms to tell you that all creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you the requital, not only of your divine love, but of the just glory for the so many things created by you for divinely loving us." Now, when you read the rounds, this isn't just something that you read. It's not just something that you say, I said it. No. Listen, we say the same thing. Rise, my glory. Rise, my life. We repeat what Our Lady says. She said, then, Supreme Majesty. Now we repeat what Louisa says. And Creator of all things, this little child. We have to become this little child that we're talking about our soul. This little child comes into your arms to tell you that all creation, and I pray this in the name of every human being, not only my family, not only my friends, not only my neighbors, not only my co-workers, but everyone, in the name of all people, past, present, and future, to give you the requital, not only of your divine love, but of the just glory of the so many things created by you for divinely loving us. You have to enter into these words. You have to enter into what Louisa is saying. Because if we're not linked to Louisa, we can't have this gift. If we can't pray the way Louisa prayed, this gift cannot be ours. Jesus looks at us and He says, "Where's Louisa?" I mean, if you're a Franciscan and you hate Francis, you ignore Francis, God's going to say, "How can you be a Franciscan? You know, this gift is Francis." With the same thing with the divine will. If Louisa isn't there, Jesus can't give you this gift. So what does that mean? You have to pray the way Louisa prayed. Supreme Majesty and Creator of all things, this little soul comes into your arms to tell you that all creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you the requital, not only of your love, but of the just glory, of the so many things created by you and for divinely loving us. See, we have this, we fall back into the human so often. You know, when we look at Christ crucified, when we see that he shed every drop of his precious blood for us, what we have to understand, this isn't human love. This is divine love. And we have to go that next step. Why do you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? You spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not reading a book, not praying your prayers, but looking at Jesus and falling in love with him. You if you're saying, well, I did my hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, what'd you do? Well, I read 3 chapters of St. Francis. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. Yes, it is wonderful. Yes, it is beautiful. But you're not there to do that. Well, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to fall in love with Jesus. How do you fall in love with Jesus? By falling in love with Jesus. We don't spend our time in front of the Blessed Sacrament reading. It's like going to your grandmother's house. Hi, Graham. Bye, Graham. They were there for an hour and they just had their head down the entire time. No, you got to fall in love with Jesus. It's very, very important. Okay, so, how I would like to enclose myself in the... See, this is what Jesus... This is a knowledge. How I would like to enclose myself in the prime act of God. What is the prime act of God? If you don't know what the prime act of God... See, you have to know this first and then love it. What is the prime act of God? What is God saying here? So when we go to a room, and we close the door and we study, this becomes our study. And we say to Jesus, what is the prime act of God? This is the reason why we try to get themes, as many themes as we possibly can have, so that when a question comes up, and if you have a theme that isn't printed up, let me know and we'll print it up for you. It's very important that, see, Jesus is speaking to each and every one of us. Jesus loves us so, he loves our uniqueness. He gives us different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, different heights, different colors. Why? He loves the uniqueness. So what is he looking for? He's looking for us to respond to him uniquely. This is why there's no formula in the divine will. When somebody says, here's the formula, this is what we're going to do, I usually walk away from it. Because Jesus will speak to each person the way he speaks to each person individually. When you go to your room, when you close the door, when you pray, what happens at that point is he speaks to me in one way. He speaks to a farmer the way he speaks to a farmer. He speaks to a scientist the way he speaks to a scientist. He speaks to a doctor the way he speaks to a doctor. Every one of us is so unique and so important to God. You know, there's no formula. Somebody says, well, how do you do it? Spend time alone with Jesus. He'll show you exactly what to do. Well, I don't know what to do. You're not spending enough time with Jesus. Well, show me what to do. Spend time with Jesus. Well, how do you do this? Go to Jesus. He's going to see every one of us in this room has a piece to the puzzle. Every one of us. And what we have to do is Jesus is going to show us how to put this together. You see, you are so important to Jesus that without you being who you are, God loses out. See, he said to Louisa, he says, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece of everyone. This is what he's asking. He's asking that this... Sorry for this. Sorry. I don't know why this happens, but it does. He loves us so much that he's asking us to allow him to show us who we are. So if you're a divine masterpiece, and this is the bad thing about religious. Sorry, religious. I will follow my founder. I will follow my foundress. And I will be obedient to my founder. I'll be obedient to my foundress. Okay, that's the way it used to be. Jesus is now saying, I am the founder. Our Lady is saying, I am the foundress, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what God is asking, He's asking us to surrender so that they can teach us. So, for example, if the founder says, God's going to make me a divine masterpiece. Okay, I love marble. God's going to carve me out, and I got to get ready for being chiseled. I got to be ready to be sanded. And God's thinking of... Thanks. Saved by Bob. Two. And get out. Get away from that corner. See, where was I? Okay. So if you're thinking marble and God wants to make you into a watercolor, you're really going to get in His way. If God's thinking an oil painting, you're really going to get in His way. If He's thinking of making you an etching, and this is, you know, terrible. You're not going to be an etching or a painting. If you get in the way, what happens at that point, God says, fine. If this is what you want to be, fine. I can't produce what I want to make you up. Each and every one of us is so unique. Like no one has the same fingerprints. No one has the same voice. No one has the same height and, you know, weight. And why? He has great plans. And this is what the divine will is going to do. The divine will is going to show you how to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that's been given to Louisa. It's not a good life, or a holy life, a saintly life, as the saints were given. It goes beyond that to a divine life. So why? See, Jesus saved the best for last. What did He do in the Old Testament? None of the people in the Old Testament received the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. None of them received the confirmation, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. None of them were ontologically changed because it wasn't time. Now, the last 2,000 years, none of them received Louisa. Why? It wasn't time. Now is the time that God is going to do this. And God wants to use us. And this is why it's so important for us to be docile. See, Jesus says in volume 19, He says, March 9th, 1926, He says, I want to play a risky game with you. I lost this risky game with Adam. I won this game with my Blessed Mother. But I want to win it with you, Louisa, and your children. Don't, He says, put God into the great sorrow of losing again. What is this risky game? This risky game is to re-enter into the womb of the Father, to go back to our origin. This is why enter there. He says to be continuously reborn. And you know, you hear the Protestants say, I've been reborn. No, it's continuously being reborn. It's brand new every second. Brand new for all eternity. Never ending. Of this newness, which is of God. This is what God is waiting for. So He says, oh, how I would like to enclose myself in the prime act of God, the first act of God, the when God said, fiat lux, okay, everything began, let there be light. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, she went back into the prime act of God. God became man. And now this third burst of light that's coming is with Louisa. And Jesus says it's greater than creation and redemption combined. You haven't seen anything yet. And everybody goes, oh, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. No, the kingdom is coming. We're going to enter into heaven while on earth. The devil is going back to hell. See, the devil has been forced out of heaven. He can't go back to heaven. When heaven comes to earth, who leaves? It's the devil. We stay in the kingdom. The kingdom, everything's going to be transmuted, God says. Not transformed. That was for the saints. But to enter into the transmutation of God, where the inside and the outside of the element changes into a completely different element. That's us. This is the divine masterpiece that God wants to create in each and every one of us. So what has He done? He's given us the book of heaven. why this book of heaven? It's what Jesus says. When the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, He will reveal to you all truths, these knowledges that God gave to Louisa. And what does He say? The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I have said. You can tell people who are reading the Divine Will why. They're peaceful, joyful, and happy. You can tell the people who are not reading the Divine Will. They're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. We fall into that continuously because of our human nature. You want to get out of worry, fear, anxiety, negativity, complaints? Read. As you read, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? Heaven. You're entering into heaven while on earth. This is what said. I enclose myself in the prime act of God in order to do everything with one single act, entering into that prime act of God, so as to be able to give back to my Creator all the divine love, all the divine glory, and His very divine beatitudes and infinite divine joys. Remember, Jesus says, I give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. To be able to divinely love God, to divinely glorify God, as God glorifies and loves Himself. He breathed into dust His image and likeness, and out of the dust there was Adam. Adam lost that. He gave this life to Louisa. It has to be a human. Jesus did His job, redeeming us. Our Lady did her job. She co-redeemed with Christ. Now, we're ready to receive the life that God gave to a human, Adam. Again, this isn't good or holy or saintly. It goes, good and holy and saintly is volume 1 through volume 10. Well, volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit that no saint ever read. And then, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. St. Honorable de Francia never read that. He died before that was given out. We can read this. We can enter into this. This is totally and completely astonishing. My child, how I, your mother, Mary, wish to be present in the act of the resurrection, wish you to be in the present act of the resurrection of the Son. Okay, now this is very important. The prime gift that is given to the little children of the Holy Divine Will is by location. Not the way the saints had it. This is much different. It's to let Jesus take you. See, there's no time or space with the divine will. There's no time or space. Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, 71 years ago, she said to him, time has now come to an end. She said 71 years ago, it's not the end of the world. It's the end of evil. We're going to leave this era of evil. Because she says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they'll be in that beatific vision. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. Time and space is going to continue for the evil one for all eternity. We're going to enter into the beatific vision where we're supposed to be. This is what it says. How I, your mother Mary, wish you to be present in the act of the resurrection of the Son. Wish you to be present in the act of the birth of Jesus. Wish you to be present in the act of the wedding at Cana in Galilee. As you pray your prayers, this is going to be fun, especially your Holy Rosary, you can go back in time. You can actually be there at Cana. You can actually be there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. See, do you see how your prayer life is going to change? Your prayer life is going to change in such a powerful way that you want to be there. Remember, the three powers that God has given you. Your intellect, okay? We have to stop thinking humanly. This is where a lot of the religious are. You bring up the divine will. I didn't see St. Thomas Aquinas say anything about that. I didn't see anything that St. Francis said about that. It wasn't time for that. We have to begin to think with the mind of Christ. Not with human teachings. That's the first thing. The second is your memory. Jesus says, do this in memory of me. And what do we do is, I think this, I say that, I do this. They said this about me. They're thinking this, they're doing this against me. The memory can't be of us anymore. That's where your misery comes in. It's to do this in memory of me. When you pray the rosary, go there. Go there. Go to Bethlehem. I mean, really, be there with Jesus. There's no time or space in the divine will. I wish you to be present, Our Lady says, in the act of the resurrection of my Son. Be there at the tomb. Be there when Christ is crucified on Calvary. See, what's going to happen? It's a new beginning that's going to happen. And it's glorious. Listen what Our Lady says. If you are there, you will see that He was all majesty. The little child continues around, okay? And rising up high, she wants to requite her God for all the love Jesus had for all the creatures in creation. She wants to honor Him as the creator of all things. So she goes, and she makes her round through the stars. That's a bad translation. It's not she goes around. She makes her round through the stars. And each twinkling of the light, she impresses her I love you and glory to my Creator. So what does that mean? The other night was what was it called? Thank you, meteor shower. See, when I watch fireworks, for every one of those sparks, for every one of those bursts of light, it's I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. You're saying it so quickly because it's boom, 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 boom. But you're saying I'm doing this in the name of every human being who has ever seen this, who have ever experienced this. This is an explosion of I love yous that go to the throne of God, which changes the face of the earth. It changes your family. It changes everything. When you begin to pray the rounds, see, Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. When you begin to pray the rounds, what happens at that point is your family is experiencing the divine will without you saying a word. Their lives are changing. Their lives are changing. And this is what God is expecting. He's expecting us to possess this gift so much that your whole family enters into this gift. This is what God is looking for. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be upset about. There's nothing to be anxious about. If those things are going on, read. Get out of your misery. Enter into heaven. See, my love, how beautiful your works are. How the sun, breaching with its rays while prostrating itself to adore you, rises up to you to embrace you and to kiss you. How the stars form a crown around you, smile at you with their sweet twinkling, and say to you, great are you, we give you glory forever and ever. From his divinity, united to his soul, he unleashed enchanting seas of light and beauty such to fill both heaven and earth. Then triumphantly making use of his divine power, he commanded his dead humanity to receive his soul again and to rise triumphantly, gloriously to immortal life. My will, Jesus says, is also risen again. It is not in my power anymore. I possess in exchange the divine will. I want to cover with its light all things around me. Celestial Mother, daybreak of the divine will rise within my soul. My dear Jesus, triumph over death, saying, death, shall be death no longer, but life. These are the responses. These are what Jesus says, Mary says, Louisa says. Louisa said that my will also rises again. See, it's to begin to enter into this life that is not human. Does that make sense? It's to enter into heaven, a divine life. See, we're stuck here. See, that's the sad part, like I said, about the religious. They're so in love with their founder or foundress They're so in love with that that they can't let go of it. And you have to let go of the holy things. Now, why? Let's just look at the religious. Let's look at when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and the apostles were standing around trying to live the Jewish life. What did they do? They eventually left Jerusalem. They went to Rome and started basically the Catholic faith, the universal life, the life that Adam lost. They let go of the Jewish part and embraced the new way. Remember, it was called the new way. This is what we have to do here. It's not to leave the Catholic faith. No, the Catholic faith is everything. The Catholic faith is the universal life. It's to enter into this new way of living, which people will say, people will not understand. They won't understand. They'll think that, you know, you're starting a new religion. You're not. You're entering into the depth. And this is the fun part. What God is going to show you is, and this is what, as you see the churches, the seminaries. When I was in the seminary in 64, we had 350 seminarians. Now we have what, 10? Everything, why is everything falling apart? Why is all the scandals happening? Why, and there's going to be more scandals, let me clue you. Why is all this happening? God is saying, my kingdom's coming. And he's saying, let go and begin to embrace the kingdom now. A lot of people are going to be hurt. A lot of people are going to be very afraid of what is coming. And our job is to begin to understand that it's a new way that Jesus is teaching. As you enter into this new life, and basically it's being reborn continuously. As you enter into this new life, what happens? It's peace, joy, and happiness. It really is. So our God is asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to read and study. Learn these truths. Learn these knowledges. There are some people who say you don't need the knowledges. Well, that only says one thing to me. They're not reading. Because Jesus says throughout the whole book, and if you want a document on the knowledges, I'll give it to you. It's very thick. You have to know this. You have to learn this. You have to study this. This has to become, you have to have a PhD in this. You have to know this so well. See, this is what's important. Your uniqueness is so important to Jesus that you're going to know something that I will never know. You will know something the way God is, the way the Lord has raised you, your DNA, your family, your friends, the way God has allowed you to live. You're going to see things that I will never see. I can't, because I'm not you. See, this is why there's no formula. What Jesus is going to teach you is how to live heaven on earth. How to be happy, how to be peaceful, how to be joyful. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.